Holly is fired for stopping at Bob. Morning. Worship was so good. And it's just funny watching the Lord kind of like intermingle things. And, you know, I knew the set list in advance, but admittedly I didn't listen to or look at any of the songs. But just to know that the last song we just sang in that chorus, that the only song I have to sing is Hallelujah to my King. And the Holy Spirit knew that was the essence of today's message. And I'm going to spill this water bottle up here, so I'm sorry in advance. Oh. I was sitting backstage, and just the, you know, the stupidity of my mind started singing the Guns N' Roses' Welcome to the Jungle. And I was just like, how appropriate would that be? That'd be a killer. I mean, the lyrics are terrible, but that'd be a killer, like, walk-up song to just have, like, Josh up here shredding on the guitar and opening that up. Like, that would have been sweet. But whenever I put out the title of the message, first, like, Beth, like, panicked. She freaked out because she thought I was going to stand here and sing her a love song. And she told me, it, like, she had, like, fear in her heart over the whole thing. And then Pastor Shane texted me and requested that I stand here and sing my entire message to you. But I'm sorry to inform that neither of those things are happening. Or not sorry, you're blessed to know that neither one of those are happening. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your presence in this place today. We can just feel your love in this place. It's thick like the humidity that's in the rainforest. We can just feel your presence in this place. Father, I pray every word that I speak and every action I make is not at a turn, but it's in step perfectly with your spirit and ushered only by the commands that come from your throne. Love you, Lord. It's just such a blessing to be a part of your love song. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, into this place. May this word go out and accomplish what you want it to accomplish. And as we turn our heart's affection to you, Father, and join in with all of eternity's worship and praise of you and hallelujah to the King. We just love you, Jesus. And may you and you alone be glorified today. Amen. So when you hear the words love song, you know, you get in that lovey-dovey, feely, you know, whatever. We're not so much going there. But kind of like where this started, the genesis of this was I had the opportunity to be a part of a friend of mine who's recording some music. And I had the opportunity to be a part of that team. And we spent the last month or so working through that, being part of that process, and the Holy Spirit really started speaking to me early on in that process to just pay attention to what's going on, and as we're working through things and working through the dynamics, you know, like the Lord gave the worship leader a song. That worship leader had the lyrics to the song. He had a melody, but he didn't have a song. He didn't have anything other than a chord progression and some words. And as we're trying to fill everything in, fill the rest of the band in around that and all of the dynamic that comes with that, the Lord was really speaking to me, like I said, to just pay attention to everything because there's so much that goes into a song that, you know, I had take for granted. Music's a major part of my life and what I do, and influences how I think, and I'm sure the same's true for everybody. Music's just a huge part of everything in our expression, of whether we're expressing frustration or whatever, love. In this case, music plays a key part in all of that. So we're part of this team that's recording, and you know, we would make changes here and there. There'd be subtle dynamic things, or you know, he'd want to hear a drum part different in this part, or he'd want to hear a bass run a little different here. So we were always surrendering everything to him, and we were falling into line with how the Lord told him the song needed to be, and the Lord, like I said, just told me to pay a lot of attention to how this dynamic is being played out, because every part's going to come collectively together to convey one message and communicate that. So as I like leaned into that experience, the one overarching thing that the Holy Spirit really made stand out was just how precious our songs are to him. Just how precious my life is to the Father. And as I said, music is a huge part of everything I do. It's a big part of our culture. We sing for birthdays, we sing for anniversaries and weddings, and it's just baked into everything we do. And the Bible, when I was just going through this and thinking through this early on, is filled with songs. Moses was singing after he crossed the Red Sea, praises to the king for the deliverance. He watched an entire army get smashed behind him, and he found it worthy to praise the Lord for it. David, we know, wrote so many songs from so many different circumstances. Mary sang when she learned that she was pregnant with Jesus. She ran, and just all she could do was just worship, because she was found humbled enough to carry the King of the world. And then we read in Revelation of just how all of eternity is filled with this unending praise. So it's weaved in all of Scripture. It's weaved into all of Scripture. From Genesis to Revelation, all we have is this beautiful tapestry that does nothing but just reveal God's love nature and reveals his heart for us. And it's just simply this one unending song that just screams, I love you. I love you. I have always loved you. I will always love you. I came for you. I died for you. And I'm never going to leave you. That is a love that's just, you can't wrap your head around. It's not based on my perfection. It's not based on anything I can bring to the table. It's just his steadfast, unchanging character that's the essence of his love. It's not a sentimental sort of love, right? It's something that is standing. It's foundational. So for note takers, there's really just two main components of today's message. First, we will look at what is God's love song, and how that love song was planned for us. How God's love song is planned. And then I want to look at our response to that love. And really, it's just our love song back to the Father. So two parts. Part one is God's love was planned, and two is our response to that love. So last weekend, Bethany and I were out with some newer friends of ours. We were playing putt-putt, and the question came up of how did you guys meet? And, you know, like most love stories, if I can call it that, most love stories have a defined beginning. Ours, we can point to a moment in time where, you know, everything started. When I was doing this, and Sharon sent me pictures, actually she sent me pictures of this, said she gave me a little friend, my cheerleader, the spirit of Cliff. in this little monkey. But yeah. So Beth and I met back in 2006. This is side. But Beth and I met back in 2006. We went to prom together and after prom. And then after that, she determined that I was an idiot and that she was never going to talk to me again, which I just found out last night. So she determined that I was really dumb. I'm probably not going to disagree a whole lot. But so she was never intending to talk to me ever again. But I think it was immediately after prom, we came here for a VBS meeting because she was really pretty and I wanted to hang out with her. So I signed up to help with VBS. And luckily, whoever was in charge that year paired us together and we ran the games that year. And both of us can look back at that VBS in 2006, 20 years ago, and be like, that is the start of the Bobby and Bethany story. And so, yeah, it's cool. You don't cheer for that. She still thinks I'm an idiot. You don't need to cheer for that. She just loves this idiot. And or she got stuck with me because I showed up for VBS and then I never left. That's an option also. But yeah, we were, so where was I at with that? We were playing putt-putt and somebody asked us about our story and it's kind of how we met and where we met and all that. And we have a defined beginning, you know, VBS 2006. We can point back to that. And I'm sure that's true for just about everybody's story, but that is not true with the story of God. We can't point to Bethlehem and say, this is where God decided to show his love to us. We can't even point to creation and say, this is where God's love story began, because God is love. God is love. And if God is love, then love is his nature. That is the heart of the Father, right? So we can't look at the beginning of, you can't look at the cross, we can't look at the birth of Jesus, we can't look at any of the miracles of Jesus, we can't point to a specific story in the Old Testament, we can't even look at creation, because before the mountains were even separated from the ocean, God loved us. God knew who we were. Scripture tells us that he knew who we were before the foundation of the world. That's wild. Like, let that sink in for a moment, that from outside of the dimension as we understand it and outside of the world and creation as we understand it, outside of space and time, God knew every single person that would ever exist. And that just like blows your mind a little bit. Jeremiah tells us this. Jeremiah tells us that he knew us before we were formed. And Paul teaches in Ephesians that God chose us from the foundation of the world. That just blows my mind. It blows my mind that before I even had the opportunity to mess up, God loved me. Before the world even had an opportunity to reject me, God loved me. That before my parents even knew my name, the Father loved me. Man. Like, that is just such a deep, deep, rich love, right? Like, just meditate on that this week, if anything. Just before whatever, God loved you. Before you walked into this church service and worshiped him this morning, he still loved you. While you were fighting with your wife in the parking lot in the car, God loved you. And I feel like oftentimes, though, with Western theology or Western Christianity, we view Christianity as escapism. And we look at the cross as a sort of rescue mission of the Lord's. But that is like completely like false. The cross was never God's plan B. It was not an afterthought. It wasn't, oh geez, like, Probably could have did something a little different. You know what? Let's just kill myself and make a way for these guys to come back into holiness with me, because I missed it, you know? And that was never the plan. Jesus wasn't a backup strategy. Scripture tells us that he, Jesus, the Lamb, was slain before the foundations of the world. So Jesus' death on the cross was not reactionary, but it was proactive, and it was central to his eternal plan. And it was established before time and the universe even existed. Love was always his plan. It was always his plan. And there's times when the liar will creep in and make you think, because I know he's done it for me, and I'm sure the same is true for everybody else, that he'll come in and make you think that your failures catch God by surprise. And then that is such a lie. It is such a lie. And I'm giving you permission to tell the devil to beat it. When stuff like that happens, just keep on walking, buddy. Because we said it. God knew every chapter of your life before he even cracked the book open. And that is just so reassuring, and we should live in that confidence, and that should honestly cultivate confidence inside of us, that we can rest assured that God has everything under control, that his plan was established well before time began, and that's just an incomprehensible grace. Like, it's just, I don't know, blows my mind. You guys are too advanced Christians. I'm simple. It's what it is. But I spent a big season of my life walking around just assuming that God was disappointed in me. That God just tolerated Bobby's existence. But Scripture, had I chose to believe it in those seasons, paints a picture of a loving God who redeems and restores humanity, has redeemed and has restored humanity, who forgives humanity, has forgiven and will forgive humanity. And had I just chosen to believe those truths in the moment, man, the glory that the Lord could have received out of my life for the years that I squandered. So this love story should cultivate in us confidence. And when things happen, rather than running from God, we learn to turn and run towards him. And we see such a beautiful picture of this love in Jesus when he takes on flesh. Simple verse, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that if you ever believe in him, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life." It never says in Scripture that God felt bad for humanity. He pitied humanity, so he decided to send a backup plan. He loved the world, so he gave his Son. He sacrificed himself, sacrificed his divinity for a season. What happened was his love for us caused him to move. It caused an action. Because God's love is moved by our brokenness, and it caused him to take on flesh and enter into it to make a way for us to step into holiness. It reconciled us back unto the Father. We see it in the life of Adam when they screw up in the garden, and the first thing that we see is God going into the garden looking for Adam. He's not coming pointing a finger saying, "You screwed up," but he's coming looking saying, I need you to be with me. God understood what it was for man to live separate from him. And all of Scripture is just this broad stroke of God pursuing his creation and wooing his creation. Romans 5:6-8 says, "For while we were still sinners, while we were still helpless, at the right time God died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person maybe someone would dare to die. But God proves his own love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God proved his love for me, that while I was in a mess, Christ still chose to die for me. He didn't wait for a cleaned up version. He took on flesh and entered into this fallen world, walked the dusty roads. He ate with sinners. He touched the untouchable, touching the lepers, forgiving the guilty, welcoming the outcast. He didn't love me. He didn't love them because they were worthy. He loved because that's his nature. It's his nature to love us. I just thought while penning that section there that could you imagine writing your wedding vows, knowing every single disappointment or failure or act of unfaithfulness that was coming down the pipe, and still choosing to say I do? Because that's essentially what Jesus did. We're all part of a big wedding here. And he still chose, even though he knew everything. Before the foundation of the world, God purposed man's redemption. And for the joy set before him, he still endured the cross. It's a deep kind of love. Deep kind of love. And the life, death and resurrection of Jesus is truthfully the greatest love story, greatest love song that'll ever be written. It's the greatest revelation of love ever known. Walk down those dusty roads carrying the cross, just carrying the shame of man, and he took those nails, and that was his grace. It was his expression of his love for us, that we were worth the punishment. Man. Hanging on a cross, just a cross probably soaked in blood. He's a spotless lamb, and he took my place, hanging there. All the embarrassment that comes with it. And it was all part of the atonement for my sins and for your sins. Hanging on a cross, crying out, "It is finished." Wasn't him saying he had enough. Enough is enough. But it was this embrace between justice and mercy. Sin was judged at the cross, and Jesus extended grace. And then we, through him, are reconciled back unto God. Without the cross, without the punishment, without the embarrassment, without the death, we're all walking a real wide path. It's no bueno. So it's just as we were going through those song writings and everything, that was the first thing that the Lord really highlighted to me, was just the real importance of his love story to me. And just I sat for the last 3 weeks and really just reflected on his love for me. How did Pastor Don say it? I'm his favorite. Bobby Cato's his favorite. That's how he said it. Yeah. So I sat for 3 weeks really just reflecting on the cross and what the cross means in my life, and all the things that he has done in my life and redeemed and restored in my life. These testimonies, they're important. But that's only one side of this love story. The side that he really emphasized to me, and what was really it's honestly quite simple, is our reaction to that love. And there's a handful of examples in Scripture that we'll read real quick that are in essence permission from the Holy Spirit for us to create new worship. So that moves us into the second half of this, which is about our love songs to Him. We're going to try this and see if I can make a mess. All right. Lots of scriptures, as I said. So deal with it. Write them down. It's the Word of God. Lamentations 3:22-23 says, "Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish. For His mercies never end. They are new every morning." His mercies are new every morning. And great is Your faithfulness, Lord. Then we got Psalm 33:3. And these are all in the Passion, if you want to pen that down. But Psalm 33:3 says, "Compose new melodies that release new praises to the Lord." Psalm 40:3. "A new song for a new day rises up in me every time I think about how He breaks through for me." Man, a new song for a new day raises up in me every time I think about how He breaks through for me. "Ecstatic praise pours out of my mouth until everyone hears how God has set me free." Psalm 96:1. "Go ahead, sing your new song to the Lord. Let everyone in every language sing Him a new song." Psalm 98:1. "Go ahead, sing your brand new song to the Lord. He is famous for His miracles and marvels, for He is victorious through His mighty power and holy strength." 144:9 says, "My God, I will sing you a brand new song, and the harp inside my heart will make music to you." 149:1 says, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord. It's time to sing to God a brand new song so that all of His holy people will hear how wonderful He is." Isaiah 42:10, also in the Passion, says, "Sing to Yahweh a brand new song. Sing His praise until it echoes from the ends of the earth." So we got 1, 2, 3. We have Lord's mercies being new, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 scriptures that are telling us to bring new melodies and bring new praise and bring fresh praise to the Lord. What it is there's this continual encountering of a God that is good. This is what's happening in all these Psalms. Encountering a God that is good, and a God that is faithful, and a God whose goodness never runs out. And all this is continual expressions in response to that goodness. It says worship in response to that goodness, specifically in the Psalms. So basically what it is we see this in Revelation 2, right? With the elders and the four beasts around the throne that are covered in eyes, as they see and catch new glimpses of the Lord on the throne, all they can do is sing the song that has always been sung, and "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come." And then they continually cast their crowns and bow and sing to the Lord. And that has been on rinse and repeat for eternity. They never get tired of singing new praises to the Lord. And we struggle sometimes to get through a 30-minute worship set. One thing the Lord highlighted to me yesterday, writing this, and it's, I don't know, it was a dumb example at first, and then the more it weighed on me, I was just like, okay, I'll listen to you. But it basically, you know, I'm going to go back to mine and Bethany's relationship for a little bit, because it's important. But when we first met, as you know, any guy who's, you know, I pursued her. She's an attractive girl. She had my affection, right? I did everything I could to hang out with her. I did everything I could to spend time with her. My world revolved around her, in a sense. Every decision I made was with her in mind at that time. It still is. I told her how beautiful she was. I just wanted to spend time with her. She was everything. I looked for ways that I could express love to her. And it just, you know, just makes sense. Because my love for her in me automatically, without me doing anything, was trying to find ways that I could express it to her. That's just how love works. Love naturally looks for a way to express itself. So when someone captures your heart, you don't necessarily have to convince them to communicate that love. It's going to happen. She captured my heart. She captured my attention. Everything I did was with her in mind. Now, imagine, if you would, just entertain me here, if when we met each other, if I had written her a love note. July of 2006, I wrote Beth a love note. And I told her how important she was to me. I told her how much I loved her. And I just, you know, you're my everything. I love you. And I wrote you that note. 20 years ago, we wrote Beth a note. And then imagine if every time we had a birthday or an anniversary or whatever, you know, she's searching for affection for her birthday, or I want to express my love to her for her birthday. Rather than telling her, I go into the nightstand and I pull out this love note that I wrote her 20 years ago and I hand it to her. She reads it, I fold it up, and I put it back away. Next year anniversary rolls around, I go get the note out, and I give it to her. She reads it, and I put it away. What if that was the only time I ever told her I loved her? Her entire existence would be desiring for my affection. And my response would be, I told you years ago. Remember? And technically, you know, the words on that paper are true. The words on that note that I hand her every year are true. The letter would still be representative of my love to her, right? Follow that? But our relationship is intended to grow. Our relationship is intended to mature. Something in that dynamic would be missing, right? And what I'm saying is that my love for Bethany today isn't meant to live only under yesterday's expression. Rather, yesterday's expression is the foundation for today's love, and that's the launching pad for tomorrow's dance, right? Because God is love, and love is a person. That means love is alive, and the deeper that we fall into that love, then the more we catch revelation of that, and the more that's revealed to us, the more that we discover new ways to communicate that love. We don't just rely on yesterday's communication method, but we continue to go deeper. And there's some, I'd argue that I was in this category, so that's why I'll speak on it, who live their lives. That's really cool that that shimmers with the air. It's like a real waterfall. That was a Pastor Mark moment. Okay. There are some who I would argue show God their love letter that they wrote years ago. They point back to the time of their salvation. They point back to a conference where they really felt Him moving. They point back to a specific worship experience where they felt the tangible presence of the Lord. Where He once moved and He once showed up, and that's all they do. That's all they point to in their lives of what God has done. I'm not discounting testimony, so let me make that abundantly clear. I'm not discounting testimony. But what I'm saying is, if all my relationship with Bethany was dependent upon was a note that I wrote her or a conversation we had 20 years ago, then we really don't have love today. We have a memory of that love. That's testimonies. Testimonies are these monument moments in our lives. And we are to sing praises to the Lord based upon the testimonies of our lives. We are to look at those monuments, and they are waypoints and guide markers of where we've been and where we've come from. But we are not exclusively supposed to praise and worship the King of Kings based on what He did, but what He is doing and what He will do. Follow that? So I'm not bashing testimonies. If I stop pursuing Beth because I once told her I loved her, our love, as I said, is a memory. And that's all it is. We don't have this loving, living, breathing, dynamic relationship. And the same happens to us spiritually if we do the same. Where we rely on these testimonies, but we neglect developing intimacy and worshiping Him in the here and now, where we rely on the song of yesterday or the song of a decade ago, but we're not penning new songs today. So that's why these scriptures that we read, they call us to sing new songs. Not because there's anything wrong with yesterday's, but because today is deserving of today's worship. Lamentation says that every morning His mercies are new. Yeah, thank you. And every day is faithfulness. Faithfulness is fresh. He's the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And he spoke yesterday. He's speaking today. And we trust He's going to speak tomorrow. And if that's true, then His love was expressed yesterday, and we worshiped Him for that expression yesterday. His love is being experienced right now, and we shall worship Him for that experience right now. And we're going to experience His love again tomorrow, because it says that He's going to turn His face and His new mercies to us again in the morning, and we're going to have a new expression for tomorrow. And what we can't do is just take God tomorrow and say, okay, this is how I expressed my worship to you yesterday, so let's pack you back into the box yesterday, and let's worship you here. We're meant to build on the foundation from glory to glory, not always in that glory. So my challenge, I guess, or encouragement, would be to focus, let's put an emphasis on it this week, but really emphasizing it this week, but let's make it a little more broader than that. But focus on bringing him your fresh oil today. Because he's worthy of it. Don't just worship him for what he did, but in the moment, worship him for what he's doing. We can worship him with thankfulness for yesterday, but we shall worship him with gratitude for today. Because we have a fresh surrender today and a fresh affection today that should look a little bit different. If we are on this journey of maturing with the Lord, our worship should mature with him. And we're going from that glory to glory. We're going deeper and deeper into his love and experiencing him in his presence. So really, this is a call for us as a body to take this and not just worship him exclusively how we know to worship him or how we've always done it, but kick the tires, so to say, and see if we've grown complacent at all and are reciprocating the love back to the Father. Because each morning brings a new opportunity for us to experience them. And we got to really be careful. I have to be careful in the busyness of life and everything to make sure that I'm not just forcing them into the box of yesterday, because that's really easy to do. So the question I want you to meditate on this week is, what song are you singing? What song are you singing? Because we boil everything down, as we started, songs are very influential. We have songs that mark everything in our lives. We have songs for specific seasons. Everybody will say they had a theme song for their life, or they have their favorite worship song, or what have you. So your life carries a tune, so to speak. And every decision we make is either bringing glory to the Lord. Pastor Shane just preached on this last week. Is either bringing glory to the Lord or it's bringing glory to self. Two can't coexist. So is the song of your life bringing glory to the Lord, or is the song of your life bringing glory to yourself? And just let's really evaluate that song that our heart or our soul is singing. Because I'm convinced that our love should be a continual expression back to the Father. And really, this boils down to, and this was a while ago, I think, I'd have to really search it out, but Pastor Shane gave a message on perichoresis. And what that is the circle dance. In essence, it's a circle dance where the Father loves the Son, and the Son is in absolute delight of the Father, and the Spirit is revealing and glorifying Jesus and revealing that love. And then through Christ, we are invited into that dance. We're invited into that relationship where we experience the love and goodness of God. And then we in turn pour our love back to him. He reveals his heart to us, and then we respond with ours. So what song is your soul singing? There's times in my life I can point to where the song of Bobby was a song of accomplishment. If the worship team wants to come, you can come. The song of Bobby was a song of accomplishment where I said that if I could achieve X, Y, or Z, or if I made this much money, or if I had this title, then I would be something. That at that time, my life would matter. I spent seasons of my life nodding my head along to the tune of Control, to where if I could just control everything around me and bring everything under Bobby's control, then I would experience peace. I spent times of my life singing that song. Spent times in my life singing the tune of Fear of Man because I was afraid of what anybody would think of me. Sang the song of being embarrassed of my past. Not understanding how a God could come along and love a bum like me. Greg, that was too quick of a ha. But I have these things I can look back in my life and I can point to where the Holy Spirit, he kind of highlights these things. Hindsight being 2020, right? Where I can look back and I can see where I sung that song of accomplishment, or where I got wrapped up in the song of trying to self-control and control everything, or I got wrapped up in my identity and caring what people think. All of those songs are straight lies from the pit of hell. Because God, in His Word, tells me that He's continually singing joy over my life. He's continually singing joy over you. He sings that you are loved, that you are precious. I'm going to pursue you, that you are mine. So what we can't do is stop, look, and listen to the enemy around us whenever he comes knocking and reminding us of these times of, like, you could just do this a little bit better. Because before I did anything, before I even existed, before I was even a thought anywhere, God loved me. And all my life is called to be is a complete reflection of that love back to Him. Nothing more, nothing less. But I have the opportunity to bring glory to Jesus. Really simple. Very simple. The gospel is not complicated. Man makes things complicated. So this week, sit down with the Lord, a little self-reflection, self-evaluation, see what the song of your life looks like. Let's stand. Stuck on the song. I know I've heard it a million times because I think it's one of our worship leaders' pocket songs, so we play it every time we play anything. I don't know the name of it. I think it's No One Else by Upper Room. But the It may just be a spontaneous moment that they have. It may not even be a real song, but the lyrics have just been on repeat in my mind all morning. I was in a shower this morning, and it was just deposited in my spirit. But the lyrics say, "No one else can love you, Lord, like I love you. I was made unique in your heart. I was made to bring you joy. Now I have a purpose. Now I have a destiny. You made me for your glory." If you're in here today and you don't know who this Jesus is that I'm talking about, or you don't understand at all this love that I'm speaking of, or this love song, I just want to let you know that Jesus loves you, that God loved you before anything. He loved you before anybody knew you. You were in Him before anything ever existed. And before anything ever existed, He counted it all joy to come and be slain so that we can be made righteous back in the Father's eyes, and that we can stand in His holy presence. So if you don't know who this Jesus is, don't leave today without accepting Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life. Because He came, He lived the life that you and I could never live. And He died the most brutal death that you or I could never endure. And He went to the grave and He rose again so that we can live in eternity with Him. And He counted it as all joy to do so for me and for you, I guess. So I invite you to come into this love song and join this family that's just been waiting for your expression of love. And those of you that are in here that know exactly what I'm talking about, but maybe you need to do a little rededication, I encourage you to do the same. To make sure that you're not only relying and building your life only on promises from 10 years ago, but you're living in the freshness of His Spirit today. Sit down with the Lord and ask Him, "What song am I singing?" And He's going to give you songs to sing in the moment for today. New praises today. If His mercies are fresh today, then your praise shall be fresh today. What I don't want is I don't want my life to be one that only reminds God of how I used to love Him. I want Him to hear a fresh praise from my heart. That's still captivated by Him. From my heart that's completely in love with Him. From a heart that is grateful for what He's doing today. And I really believe as we as a body sit on this, that Holy Spirit's going to breathe and release a fresh wave of creativity. That creativity will flow in this house again, and it's going to unlock new ways of worship. New ways of worship. Not for our glory, but so that we can sit in a deeper presence with Him. So Jesus, I just thank You for this word. We just thank You, Lord, for Your perfect love. It's a love that we cannot earn. We can't do anything to lose it. We can't do anything to mess it up. Jesus, I thank you that you pursued me when I wandered. That you pursue us. Thank you, Jesus, for enduring the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for enduring the cross. I thank you, Jesus, that you promise to come again. I thank you, Jesus, for the truths that are in your scripture. And I thank you, Lord, for the awareness and the discernment that we can pull away the voices that are just distracting us from those truths. Father, we love you. We give you all the glory. We just thank you, Lord, for this eternal love song that you're just so affectionately calling us into. I just pray, Lord, that everything we do as a body brings glory to your name, Jesus. So if you're in here, our prayer team's here. If you have a specific need that you need prayed for, there's folks here that'll meet you at the altar. They'll pray with you. If you just need some alone time with the Lord, you do that where you want to do that. It's in your seat or up here. You just do you where you need to do you with the Lord. We just love you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.